morning. You're listening to the 88.5 KRFY morning show on Thursday, October 22nd. Sort of a foggy, chilly Thursday, October 22nd so far, but warming up later today. Sunny this afternoon. I'll just jump right into the weather with sunny this afternoon, but mostly cloudy this morning. Patchy fog before noon, which you can see if you are walking downtown right now on your way to the radio station. I'm Jack, that's Jim across from me, and we usually do host the morning show on Thursday.
I'm back.
Yeah. What'd you get up to last night, Jim?
Well, I think we need to do a big shout out to some folks. Last night was the KRFY fundraiser at the Idaho Port Authority. And mm-hmm. I was there, and I know you were there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great event. Lots of folks showed up, even though we were up against Back to the Future at the Panada Theater, October 21st, 2015. And mm-hmm. I understand there was an excellent crowd there. But mm-hmm. want to thank Vicky and John at the Idaho Port Authority for hosting us, a great venue for a fundraiser. Want to thank Truck Mills, a local musician who gave us just a terrific performance and was there with his incredible skills, and one of the many talented local artists in the area. And then Iron Horse Brewery from Ellensburg, Washington was there with a lot of their goods as well as some of their brews. So it was a great evening.
Yeah, it was. I had a lot of fun, and I think you thanked all the right people there, but you are right that the Port Authority does a great job for a lot of area organizations.
Not just the radio station, but they are very generous with their space with 501c3s, and we want to give a big shout out to them.
Yes. Thanks, and thanks again. Sitting in the studio with us this morning.
What ho?
Uh-huh. we have Steve and Rick. Do you want to do the introduction?
Sure. To my immediate left, I'm doing that because this is not a visual medium, is mm-hmm. Rick Leader. He is president, director?
Would be the founder.
But
not in an officer seat at this time.
Of the Sandpoint Disc Golf Association. And to his left, two over from my left, is Steve Holt from the Eureka Institute. Good morning, Steve and Rick.
Good morning, Jim. Jack, pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you guys because the ink is still wet on the Bonner Bee, and lo and behold is an article that carries on over to the third page of the Baldfoot Disc Golf Course. And read the article. It's really interesting. But I'm going to turn to Rick first. Rick, could you give us a little bit of history of the disc golf here in the Sandpoint area and how we arrived at what we're going to be doing on this weekend?
Well, it actually is about a 20-year history here. For many, many years, all the players in Sandpoint drove to Farragut State Park and played one of their three disc golf courses down there. They actually have now four. They put in a kids course there also. And we started putting together a target course down at Lakeview Park, right by Memorial Field, and not the safest spot for disc golf. And so eventually we evolved out of and moved forward out of that, and we found a piece of property which turned into be the Mickinick Trailhead. And we started to install a course there, and then the progress of our community moved more towards the trailhead of the Mickinick Trail than the disc golf course. And thank God it did, because that's a beautiful thing that we have for our community right there. And then approximately 3.5 years ago, we got permission from the University of Idaho to install a disc golf course on the University of Idaho's Sandpoint campus. And
on Boyer Avenue.
After about a year and a half of play, the university gave permission to install a golf driving range, which basically cut our course in half.
A real the one
golf,
with the sticks
ball
and
golf,
everything.
Which okay, they golf. hate that term, but it ball golf.
Okay.
And our group decided at that time that we were getting so much play. At that time, we were probably about 350 players a week in the summer, and this course was pretty crowded. That the popularity was so strong that we felt we really still needed a championship course rather than just nine holes. And especially for the amount of maintenance was at that facility. It took a lot of mowing and a lot of volunteer time just to keep the course open. And I had been in previous discussions with the city of Sandpoint over this Baldy property. And so we negotiated with them and the Eureka Institute to get a licensing agreement on this the Baldy property. And we moved the course to, it's 10076 Baldy Mountain Road. So it's the first left over the railroad tracks. And since then, we've installed 18 holes of championship disc golf. And proud to say this weekend, we'll be opening nine holes as a kids course out there also. And so right now we are really at a wonderful time in our associations and the Eureka Institute's involvement of really blossoming. This course is beautiful and being talked about just at an amazing level in all of the region. We are getting so much regional play. It's really amazing to go out there and just see how many license plates.
See people out there.
Yeah, from out of town. Kootenai plates and Spokane, Washington, Montana. There's people coming from the region playing this course. It's
wonderful.
Yeah.
Is this property owned by the city?
Yes, it is.
And what was the city using it before this golf course?
It's just a vacant piece of land there. Old farm, the city purchased it several years back. I'm not sure if they had a specific intent for that or not, but they were gracious enough to grant us a license agreement for it. It was in really the property. These guys, the Sandpoint Disc Golf Association, has just done an incredible job of cleaning it up and getting rid of hazards and really manicuring it, putting in the parking. It's been wonderful to witness these guys who are so passionate about disc golf get out there and really dig in.
Now, how much property are we talking about? How much space do you need for a good disc golf?
It's a 33-acre parcel.
Do you use all of it?
And we use about 75% of it now, I'd say.
So right now there is an 18-hole course. And then there's going to be a youth course, a child's course?
Correct. Yeah, there's a family course. You know, the shots are shorter, so the kids can reach. Mm-hmm. There's the 18-hole course is challenging, pretty long holes through the woods. So it's a great walk just to stroll around out there and throw a disc.
Okay. Now, yeah, I'm going to say a word that might just bring chills up and down your spines, but if
Ooh,
I'm...
Oh, boy.
I know. I'm going to lay it on the line here. If I'm out there listening and have absolutely no idea of what you guys are talking about and say, oh, yeah, I've seen people with their dogs throwing this disc around. Is this like Frisbee?
Well, it's exactly like Frisbee.
But you just can't say Frisbee.
Yeah, the term Frisbee is a trademark name. And by the Wham-O Corporation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not. It's sort of like I think the word realtor is a realtor is a trademark name too.
Right. And so and that's Frisbee. Really why it's been, 30 years ago when the Innova company introduced their new product, which was a flying disc, they couldn't use the term Frisbee because it's a patented name. And they also had a patent on the disc itself. But Innova proved that their disc flies and shapeshifts, basically. In flight, mm-hmm. And so they got a new patent for this style of disc. And since then, Wham-O is way into the disc golf world, and they make disc golf disc, and they don't call them Frisbees, but they still make their Frisbees. So,
now, and also the I just point out the discs that they play disc golf with are not to play catch with. These things have extremely hard edges and sharp edges on them. The Frisbee has sort of a rounded curve. It's light. Mm-hmm, you can throw it back and forth. These discs will knock you out. Now, so you really have to be careful as well.
In a disc, Steve, where's the weight? Is it on the rim or is it in the center?
Oh, you got to direct that to Rick Leader,
okay.
The master Rick. Over here.
It's basically in the rim of the disc.
Okay.
And you buy the disc by different weights, in fact. And
oh, so it's like a different iron
if
you're ball golfing.
Oh, yeah, so you have a bag that's basically a quiver of disc.
No
and
kidding.
Each of the discs are designed
really
for different flight characteristics. So okay. Some of them are designed to turn more left, more right, faster speeds. Then you also have mid-range disc and putters. So which are designed to not turn as much in the air and go directly at target and drop straight down. So yeah, and it's so there's a lot of scientific analysis on these discs. Sure. I mean, there's over 1,000 discs available that you can buy, different
You're
kinds.
Kidding me.
Yeah.
So how many do you carry when you play 18?
I personally carry 5, but
I carry 2.
Okay.
I think you can do it with a driver and sort of a mid-range putter.
Okay. And explain to someone out there who might not understand, who might know what ball golf is, what do you have a hole that you put the disc into? Why don't you talk a little bit about, give it a visual.
Well, it really is similar to golf in a lot of ways. You start off at a tee box, and you're aiming for what is a basket. And it has inverted chains that gets narrower to the bottom into the basket. So if you hit the chains, it falls directly into the basket. So just like golf, it's the least number of shots to put it in the basket. And so a lot like golf, a smart player actually does better than a big arm player or somebody that throws it too far. You really just want to be right down the middle and play smart, and you get a better score instead of always going for it and, you know, having that big, big arm. And also in a way of golf, you don't lose your disc as much, you know, you can have the same disc for 15 years, you know, 10 years, unlike a golf ball, which, you know, you have to carry a 3 or 8 pack or like me, maybe 10
life
or 12
expectancy
on the course.
Less right. than 9 holes.
Right.
Yeah.
Steve Holt, what's the Eureka Institute's involvement in this?
Got the license agreement with the city. We have a 5-year term on that currently. We have helped organize the installation of the parking. We've had 2 rounds of parking already. We put in a parking lot, and then it was too small. We had to like expand that and to its current level, and now that's too small. I mean, we're getting like 1,500 uses a month out there. So we're helping organize that. We wrote a grant to the Sandpoint Rotary, who graciously donated some money to install an informational kiosk out there, which will be done for this weekend. We're really excited about that. We put a lot of energy into that. We've also got we've got some shelters that we want to build to have people get an opportunity to get in and out of the rain and snow. These guys actually go out there and play in the winter, believe it or not.
Like a postman.
Yeah, and we're really excited about it. We think it's a great amenity. It fits right in with the Eureka Institute's mission of fostering lifelong learning and leadership by creating educational and recreational events. And anytime we can create places where the public can visit and get some outdoor space and outdoor activity, especially in a place like Sandpoint, that's such a recreational mecca of different things that are happening here. You know, we're proud to be a part of it. It's really great.
I think it's important to get the word out that this is a family sport, that one can go out with one's children or grandchildren and have a great part of a day out there on the course. Tell me about the events coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's our grand opening. We're going to do a ribbon cutting. Our mayoral candidate, Shelby Ronstadt, and currently city council member, has been extremely supportive and is going to cut the ribbon. Kate McAllister from the chamber will be there to say a few words. We just want to get the word out that the course is open and playing well. The Sandpoint Disc Golf Association is putting countless hours out there to help get the course ready. We've also got a multitude of contributions from local businesses. I don't want to go into naming sponsors of the course right now. I'm fear of sort of leaving somebody out, but there's a lot of local businesses that have participated to help us out. And some have actually purchased sponsorships for the current baskets that are out there. And for that, they get their, you know, name on a plaque that's at the tee box. We have some sponsorships available for the kids course currently. So if some business out there is interested in sponsoring a hole, please, you know, feel free to call me at 208. I know Jim always wants me to like say the number 208-265-4000. And we're happy to talk to you about what that entails.
Excellent. What time's the ribbing? What time's the ribbon cutting?
There's a 12 o'clock start time on the ribbon cutting, and we'll have a few people speak.
On Saturday.
And I believe that's the 24th. And we will then be holding a clinic for people who are interested in learning more about how to throw the disc. And, nice. And Rick's going to be leading part of that, so maybe I'll let him say a few words about some of the things that he might be showing people.
Yeah, why don't you?
Well, basically, after the ribbon cutting, we're going to part of that ribbon cutting is to open the Littlefoot disc golf course, which is our nine-hole kids course, and it's really going to be amazing to see families out there, with their kids on this part of the course. It's an unbelievable how many parents are pushing their kid around in a stroller, or mostly the three-wheeler strollers, because the other course is pretty rough and the mm-hmm. terrain is difficult. But it just to see this and evolve into this kids course and then see more kids out there would be just beautiful. So my goal is to teach the kids or adults that want the different throwing techniques, because there's the forehands, backhands, each way the disc spins a little different off your hand. You can make them turn right or make them turn left, and putting techniques, and also just safety in playing.
Because oh, I can imagine.
As Steve mentioned, yeah. if
beheadings.
Just like golf, I mean, you get hit by one of these, it will clock you and cut you open. I mean, it'll
get your
pretty
attention.
Darn dangerous. So, mm-hmm. And just the safety aspects of the game is really important to teach straight away.
Okay.
And then just allow fun to happen. I'm bringing probably 40 extra discs, so people don't have to bring the disc with them. We'll supply them, and they can use them while they're out there. And try to get as many families as we can onto this kids course the first day it's open.
Does it make a difference if one is left or right-handed and playing disc golf?
The left-handed discs fly a lot different than the right-handed discs.
So, okay.
No, absolutely.
That's
no
like
difference.
A left and right-handed ballpoint pen.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So is there a difference?
No, absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. No, you're good, Jim.
No, the spin is completely different if you throw a forehand shot compared to a backhand shot. So the inherent flight characteristics of each disc will kind of take over. If you do a forehand shot, you're going to turn to the right, and a backhand shot's going to turn to the left at the end of its flight pattern.
Mm-hmm. Is there, when you get out there, I have not seen this course yet. So like when I arrive, if I don't have a disc to my name, is there a spot where I could rent discs?
Not on course, but in our community, there is at least 5 stores now that carry discs. Mm-hmm. And it'd be Greasy Fingers, Outdoor Experience, Big mm-hmm. Five. I actually believe Walmart carries them now.
Mm-hmm.
But you're starting to see them more and more places around town.
Okay. They're easy to come by.
Yes.
Not too hard.
And they cost anywhere from about $8 to $20.
Okay. And if this was my very first game of disc golf, could I get away with just one disc and go out there?
Absolutely. A mid-range disc is just perfect for playing a lifetime of disc golf. Mm-hmm. You don't actually need any other disc than that. Like Steve says, he plays with two. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do quite well with just one.
Yeah.
Not to contradict Rick, but he was mentioning about how you don't lose these like you lose golf balls. Well, that's Rick. Okay. So you do lose them. You gotta, it's,
are there water hazards?
There's water hazards. There's hazards everywhere. There's a lot of trees.
Mostly trees out there. But mm-hmm. you're finding that the amount of play on the course, it's getting easier and easier to find your disc. And also the course, the way we designed it, it actually kind of corrals the disc back into the playing area.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
With the trees that we've left and everything, when they get knocked down, normally they fall back into an area that's been trampled down by play and everything.
Okay. Yeah. What's the range of the shortest to the longest yard-wise of the holes?
Well, the course is it's measured in feet in disc golf instead of yards.
Okay.
Our shortest hole is about 140 feet long.
Okay.
Which is not that far. Most people can throw that easily in one throw, and the longest is almost 500 feet.
Okay.
And that in relative to a lot of disc golf courses, is quite short. This course isn't a long course. It's a technical course. It makes you be a shot maker and play smart. And with so many trees in play, you really do have to just really play smart and not try to overthrow and be really precise with your shots.
Excellent.
If I went out there, does it look like a regular golf course just kind of shrunken down, aside from the holes, of course? I mean,
it's beautiful fairways. Yeah. You know, it's quite well manicured. You come up to a concrete tee box that are 6 foot by 10 foot long. That is your throwing surface for your tee. And then, you know, you can see the baskets almost, I think 16 of the holes you see basket from pin. And you'll see that it is well manicured all the way. And part of that is the amount of play. The more
that'll keep it.
It does. Mm-hmm. And that's the beautiful thing about this sport is, and also this course is, with this type of play and the volume, it takes a lot less maintenance to keep the course going. And we love that as the installers of the course. It makes our job a lot easier. But you'll see it is stunning. You don't even really need a map in your hand to play the course. There's well-marked trails between the holes, and it's quite signage on each hole that tells you where the pin is and what you're playing to, the distance and things along that line.
Nice.
Cool. Well, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, and we're here with Steve Holt and Rick Leader. And we're talking about the Bald Foot Disc Golf Course and some of the events. We haven't talked about Sunday yet, but we're going to take a break and play a tune. We usually play the song that was number one 50 years ago on this date. And if we did that today, we'd be playing the same song we played last week. Yesterday by the Beatles was still number one, a great song. But we're going to drop back 49 years ago today on this date, and we're going to slide on over to Motown. And the Four Tops had a song called Reach Out, I'll Be There, was number one 49 years ago on October 22nd, 1965.
The KRFY Morning Show is broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday, live at 8 a.m. Tune in to 88.5 or stream us live from our website at 8 o'clock to hear the complete and unedited program, including musical selections. Due to our licensing, we are unable to include full songs in our downloadable podcasts. We now return to the KRFY Morning Show.
That was Levi Stubbs in the Four Tops with Reach Out, I'll Be There, and Erase, Erase, Erase. It was 49 years ago on this date, October 22nd, 1966, and that song replaced Cherish by the Association as the number one song, and it was followed by Question Mark and the Mysterians, 96 Tears. Ooh, those 60s really... Oh, Jerry Warren will get upset with me with the 60s show. But we're here with Steve Holt and Rick Leader, and we're talking about the disc golf course that is out on Baldy Road, the Bald Foot disc golf course. And I'm going to turn to Rick, and we've got the 18-hole course. We're going to have a 9-hole course for young players. What's ahead for the, what are the short-term goals, the long-term goals for the disc golf course?
Well, fundraising is a big thing right now. We do need sponsorship for this new kids course. And we, as a group, has went ahead and purchased the baskets and everything, and we're going to install it, but we have no sponsorships at this time for it. And so we're looking for full sponsorship of the course, either by one entity or 9 individuals to do that course. The other goal is we want to put 18 more tee boxes in on the existing Baldfoot course. And they will play to the same basket, but they will be completely different shots than the other existing 18 tee boxes. So it really opens up our course to, it's 36 holes then, but you'll be able to play it twice and be shooting completely different shots.
But the same 18 the 18 baskets would be used twice, but coming at it from
a different angle,
different kind of layout.
And we've done a really good job. We've got the placement on most of those 18 ready. And our goal is that you'll have line of sight to the other tee box. So there's no way to overplay another group that's in front of you, like, so you're coming up behind a group. So you can stay in the same order of play and everything. And, you know, safety is a huge thing for our group. You know, we all understand how much, you know, you can.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. It's just, I've seen some ugly accidents in 35 years of playing disc golf myself.
Well, we've seen them on ball golf courses too. Yeah. You know, now, how long does it take to play, let's say, 18 holes?
Anywhere from about, we have a lot of guys that do, what, like myself, that do running rounds. That it takes about 35 to 40 minutes to run around. It's 2.2 miles if you walk the course.
So good exercise.
It's really good exercise.
Great.
And then an average round is about an hour and a half and for 18 holes.
Okay. And now you're a member of the National Disc Golf Association group?
Yeah, it's called the Professional Disc Golf Association, PDGA. And you register with the PDGA, so you get on their course registration. And so we are registered on four different course registration sites on the internet. Mm-hmm. So if anybody's just sort of Googling disc golf in Idaho, this course comes up. So you do lure a lot of out-of-town players in that manner.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And we, as a group, you know, our overall goal is we'd love to host one of those PDGA events. And get some of those amazing pro disc golfers to come up here, because it's you know, I throw it a long ways, but nothing like these guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can literally throw the disc 800 feet. And to think of that distance out of an arm is just unbelievable.
Yeah. But the longest hole you mentioned here is 500 feet. So I would imagine, you know, strength of arm alone doesn't get you there. Accuracy is crucial.
Correct.
Much like a ball golf thing. Tell me a little bit more about the baskets, because I used to be a ball golfer and I think a little cup, and I've seen the baskets, they're chains. They look like a medieval torture device. You know, you don't want to get caught in there. But when you're about, how do you get your disc to hang in there?
Well, the chains are, there's a cylinder at the top.
Okay.
And then there's some chains hanging from that that come down and connect at the bottom. And essentially what you hope is, your hope is that if your disc hits the chain, it will drop straight down. And underneath the chain is a basket that extends beyond the width of the chain.
Ah, okay.
So
okay.
It will catch the disc. Now, sometimes if you don't hit the chain right in the middle, you can glance off the chain and not drop in the basket, which is incredibly frustrating.
Like rimming the hole, you know, in terms of golf, you know, blip.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just sort of piggyback on what Rick said about the sponsorships and the funding for the park. I mean, I really want everybody to know that this is strictly a volunteer effort. And in order for us to keep expanding the park, we definitely will need some community assistance, whether it comes from businesses and or individuals. As I mentioned before, we really need to expand the parking, you know, one more round. I drive by there every day. The parking lot is full. It really is getting a lot of use right now. And we do have a donation bee. That was bin and fee put together. It's a donation bin where we collect user fees of $1. So we're asking right now a user fee of $1. And really, that dollar goes a long way. It has helped pay for maintenance. We have guys that go out there and mow on their own, but we have to pay for gas, you know, the gravel for the parking lot, the wood for the shelters and benches. And we just built some picnic tables. So there's quite a bit of funding that needs to happen to be able to really take this the course to the next level. So if you do go out there and play, please donate your user fee of $1. We really appreciate it, and or more. Sometimes we find fives and tens and 20s
That's
in the
great.
Bin, which is really, really great.
Now, if one wants to sponsor a hole, or if one wants to become involved as a volunteer, what would be contact information? Where does one call, or website, or...
That's a good question, Jim. They'll contact the Eureka Institute. Numbers 208-265-4000. Or you can email me at info@eureka-institute.org. And I'm happy to answer your questions. I can put you in touch with the Sandpoint Disc Golf Association, whether you're interested in a monetary contribution or whether you want to come out and put some time into the course. It's really appreciated.
Excellent. Now let's talk about Sunday's event. Saturday at noon is the ribbon cutting and at the disc golf course. And Sunday is going to be a championship tourney?
Absolutely. We're hosting what we are calling our Fall Classic. And this is going to be a 36-hole championship event. And there's going to be basically four divisions, two in the men's and two in the women's. There'll be a pro division in each and an amateur division. The pro division actually pays for money. They'll play, it's $40 to enter, and then the top 20% of players get a payout at the end. So it's a cash prize. The amateurs are going to be $25 entry. You receive a bald foot disc for that entry, also a mini disc, which you use for a marker disc, for that entry, and then your name will go into a raffle. And we have some amazing raffle prizes for the amateurs this week. Hats, shirts, discs, actually a traveling basket, a portable basket that's going to be raffled off. So we're really trying to get as much involvement at all levels in this tournament. The tournament's going to be 36 holes, so it'll be two rounds. So after the first round, we have several holes that we can move the basket on. We'll actually change the pin placement on several of the holes and then play a second round. Neat. So there'll be a little different shot on a few of them. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of that second round, we'll have champions in both classes.
And what time on Sunday?
I believe 9 o'clock is our start time. Okay. And then the second round will start as fast as we can get those baskets changed and everybody reorganized. We are not supplying lunch, so if you are coming out, you're going to want to have your drinks and your lunch and everything in order, because that's about 4 hours of play. So,
and we've had, I'll just mention, we've had a few tournaments out there, and they are extremely well attended.
I was going to ask about a gallery.
Yeah, we've had people coming from all over the Northwest. And they did a Cinco de Flyo tournament this last May. So it's a lot of fun. Come on out and enter.
We absolutely fill the course. We start every tournament we've had 72 players at the start, which is four per hole. And we do a shotgun start. So we've been completely full for every tournament.
Another question about the discs. Do they change in diameter? I mean, do you have smaller discs? Like I would think as you get closer to the hole, you might get a smaller one that can hit the chains properly, or I don't know. Somehow I just think of you know, hitting,
well, there's actually
the change and
there's
going
actually
on.
Regulations through the Professional Disc Golf Association how what size the disc can be, what certain shape, edge, everything along
weight.
That. So they hit, yeah, and weight.
Okay.
And you'll find that you don't want to get too heavy. Obviously, it won't fly as far. And now they're making different plastics that they have some new discs that weigh about, you know, 20 to 30, 40 grams less than the older style.
Mm-hmm.
But they fly as far as the ones that weigh 40 grams more. And it's a new technology in plastic. And they're amazing. But again, you know, you have to learn each of these discs if you buy a new one, you know, since they all do different things. It's taken the time learning. It's just like learning a new club at golf.
Absolutely. I can imagine. We're here with Steve Holt and Rick Leader talking about the Baldfoot Disc Golf Course. Let's run over one more time the events of this weekend, and I'll turn to you, Steve, starting on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday we have our grand opening of the Baldfoot Disc Golf Course. We're going to do a ribbon cutting. Our kiosk, an informational kiosk, which has been sorely needed, will be complete. We're really, really excited about that, so that people who come there will be able to direct themselves to the course, look at a course map, get an overall view of what's happening. There's a bulletin board there that will have information on upcoming tournaments and and things that are happening at the course. Then on Sunday, and then we'll also, backing up on that Saturday, we're Rick Leader and some of the other folks from the Sandpoint Disc Golf Association will be giving a clinic for those who are interested in learning how to throw a disc properly, getting a few tips, that sort of thing. So really trying to inspire the community to get out there and play a little bit more. Then on Sunday, there's going to be a tournament called the Fall. What did you say?
I think it's Fall Classic.
The Fall Classic. The Baldfoot Fall Classic.
It has a nice ring to it.
There it is. And it's a professional and amateur tournament. Signups are at 9. Play begins at 10. There's some wonderful raffle prizes, so we really encourage everybody to come on out and play the course.
I have one more question, not about this weekend. You mentioned that this used to be like maybe a farm or something, and I was just wondering, do you have an estimate of how many volunteer hours went into turning it into what it is, and how different does it look now from where you started?
Well, it's, I'd have to say... 3,500 hours easily. Tens of thousands of trees, of smaller trees. It was pretty, what we call up here in North Idaho, dog hair forest, really thick. And it really needed the whole fire safety thing done out there. Sure. And that's a lot of what we have done is, you know, cleaning the zones out for that. From the Baldy Road, it doesn't look much different than it's always looked. It's got the old barn and everything there. It's got a parking lot. But once you enter the course, you'll see a vast change in what has been done. I many shouts out to the Sandpoint Disc Golf members. They have gone over the top on their volunteerism out there. It's a great example of just the whole philosophy of a group getting together, charging $1 for somebody to participate in a sport. You know, that's one of the popularities of the sport is it is a cheap game to play. You buy a disc and, you know, Baldfoot is $1. 90% of the courses in the United States, which there is over 10,000 of them now, are free. And so a big difference between this game and ball golf.
That is a major difference.
I have a question. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, this should be springtime when you have the spring and the whole summer ahead to play disc golf. Is there a season when is there going to be a time when it ends, like in a blizzard, or will there be people out there?
There are people playing it all year long.
Really?
Yeah, they can play in the snow. Rick, you can explain how they do that.
Well, you know, and one of the reasons the course is developed at the, you know, the rate it has is because of these two back-to-back mild winters that we've had. Last year, there was only snow on the ground on the course for less than a month. I was there playing on winter solstice. There was no snow on the ground. The parking lot's completely full. You know, of course, there's nobody on the ski hill.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the way it stayed all winter.
No kidding.
It was the only game in town this winter, you know, with the way our thing. And, you know, if our winner does that again, you'll see even more usage this year than last year. And it sounds like it might be the same. And it's great for disc golf course development, I tell you, though. Yeah. Most of our work has been done during the wintertime.
Wonderful. Well, Rick and Steve, we want to thank you for taking time out of your... this is an exciting time of the year for disc golfers to see what's going to be happening at the Baldfoot Disc Golf Course. And if you want more information, pick up today's Bonner B, and there's a front page story below the crease and then carries on to over to page 3. But I want to thank both of you because I think this is a great contribution to the community in terms of for the family, men and women, and a sport that everyone can play.
Yeah, well, thank you. And as you know, the Eureka Institute is an underwriter for KRFY. And I wanted to put a big shout out to you guys, Jack and Jim, for hosting us. And thank you for being here. And you're an incredible community asset, too. So,
well, thank you very much for those kind words. And I hope you have a good weather-wise weekend. Let's hope that it's... Isn't this fall weather just been beautiful?
It's going to be great.
Oh, God, let's hope so. What we're going to do is we're going to say goodbye to Rick and Steve, and we're going to play a song that was released on this date in 1965, and it later on became a number one song. It was by the Rolling Stones, and the follow-up to Can't Get No Satisfaction Hey, you, get off of my cloud.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
That is the Rolling Stones. Hey, you, get off of my cloud. That song was released on this date in the United Kingdom in 1965, 50 years ago. And that song, supposedly the story behind it is that after the enormously successful Can't Get No Satisfaction, people and fans were asking, what next are you going to come up with? And this is a song dealing with people's expectations. And while we're playing it, I said to Jack here, I wonder now in this age of computing with cloud, I'm not quite sure what a cloud is in the world of computing, but I wonder if this song takes on other overtones.
Yeah, somebody's going to make, some internet security company is going to license that song, I think, for a commercial and make a pretty
penny. It's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Well, that's the Rolling Stones. Okay, we're going to get into some of our events, but first and foremost, I will begin with, there is an online auction going on. It's a fundraiser for 88.5 KRFY, and you can bid on many donated items from books, lake cruises, collector wines, a ski weekend at Schweitzer, concert tickets, exotic vacation destinations, and we don't mean Sagal. Seahawks game tickets. You can go online. There's two ways you can go there. You can either go to krfy.org and there is a link to the online auction, or you can go to biddingforgood.com and // KRFY. But please do. The auction closes this Sunday, October 25th. And it's a fundraiser. We depend so much here at the radio station on the generosity of the North Idaho community. And so that's an online fundraiser auction that is going on right now as I speak. And there's all sorts of treasures there. So again,
yes, there are.
88.5 KRFY. Just go to KRFY.org and follow the links.
I am going to check that out later today, see what's on there. I think I heard that there is another pie this year, which I was outbid last year at the last minute.
Darn those art bidders.
I know, yeah.
They're like that, aren't they?
Uh-huh. So I'm going to check that out. We have some other events going on.
I've got Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say, Friday. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier, Back to the Future Part 1 and 2. Again, on the 23rd, there is going to be at the Panada. 6 p.m. will be the first one, Back to the Future, and 8 p.m. will be the second film. So that is this Friday. If you weren't able to make last night, you can make it this Friday. And then coming up on Friday, we have music at the winery, the Ponderay Winery. We'll have live music from 5 to 8 with Travis Yost, a solo performer from Missoula.
Uh-huh.
And then at the IPA, Idaho Poor Authority, we have live music from Us 2 from 5 p.m. to 7. And then at McDuff's, I mean, you could just have music without ever listening to Jack Peterson's local show.
Yeah.
McDuff's Beer Hall, you can hear Brendan Watterson. He's a longtime Sandpoint artist and loves to play in beer halls. And he's going to be there from 6:30 to 9:30, so lots of music on the agenda.
Speaking of local music, on Friday, if you did want to hear it, but you didn't want to leave the comfort of your own home, you don't have to. You just have to tune in to 88.5 at 8 p.m. Susie is actually going to be in here interviewing Mo Kelly and Nicole Blaze at 8 o'clock p.m. There will be live music in the studio,
and they're performing on Sunday night right. at the Panada. One thing for tonight, though, I forgot. I jumped ahead to Friday. Mm-hmm. Is at McDuff's. There's a beer release party and a Lake Pend'Oreille Waterkeepers annual meeting. Starts at, I'm looking for the time, 6 o'clock at McDuff's mm-hmm. Beer Hall on Cedar Street. And there's going to be music, door prizes, and a whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And go out and support the Lake Pend'Oreille Waterkeeper Association. They do a bang-up job. So that is tonight at 6 p.m. at McDuff's.
All right. Coming up on Saturday, I have the Saturday events here in front of me. And the one right at the top of the page that catches my eye is the North Idaho Reads finale event with author Alan Minskoff. It's at the Pend'Oreille Winery. North Idaho Reads is the organization at 1 p.m. Actually, I'm sorry, hosted by the Pend'Oreille Winery. It's in the Sandpoint Library. You know where that is, the East Bonner County Library, 1407 Cedar Street. He's the author of Idaho Wine Country. He'll give a special presentation and a Q&A session. The winery is offering drink and appetizer specials, including an Idaho Wines flight feature. The event is free and includes giveaways and a prize drawing for a Bistro Rouge gift certificate. How about that? Courtesy of the Sandpoint Library.
That's sort of curious. They say the library. Whenever I think of the library, I think of Division, not Cedar.
Oh.
You know, I don't think of it being on You're Cedar, right. you know, but I let's just say on the corner Division. Of Division and Cedar.
Yes. This is followed by a tour of the winemaking facility on Boyer Avenue after that. Go to northidahoreads.org, all one word, North Idaho Reads, for more information. Also on Saturday at the Poor Authority, Truck Mills is going to be playing. He played just last night at the Poor Authority.
Yay,
he did a
Truck.
Bang-up job. Yeah. Thank you, Truck Mills, and go and see him again. Same place, different time at the Poor Authority from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Also at the winery on Saturday from 5 till 8, The Causeway from Spokane. Two brothers from Spokane offering indie soul rock. I'm going to have to look those guys up. The Causeway, powine.com for more information. 265-8548. Here's one. The USA Dance Chapter is hosting a Boo Bash costume ball.
Boo.
The Boo Bash. From 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. down at Sandpoint Community Hall. It must be, that time of year. Prizes for the best costumes are encouraged but not required, by the way. Plus, there will be a cha-cha dance lesson at 7 p.m., followed by general dancing, refreshments, door prizes, mixers, line dances, and fun. Singles and couples are welcome. usadancesandpoint.org for more information about that. And, there's a ton of stuff going on this weekend. But
which is not unlike any other weekend. There is just, but it seems like there's more happening.
Yes, there is. I'll try and touch on these kind of briefly, but Blue Streak is playing at DeLuna's Cafe, and they are an excellent combo featuring known to most or to many of our listeners. Doug Bond is in Blue Streak, backed up by four other individuals from the North Idaho and Spokane area. The concert begins at 7:30 p.m., but there is a doors open at 5:30 p.m. with dinner served before the show. It is one of the more veteran crews of the entire Northwest bluegrass scene, anchored by the powerful vocals and guitar work of Sandpoint's Doug Bond. Go to delunas.com or call 263-0846 for more information about that. If you're up in Bonner's Ferry tuning in, you can catch Patrice Webb at the Pearl Theater. It's at 7160 Ash Street in Bonner's Ferry, if you don't know. The cafe opens at 6 p.m. and the show begins at 7 p.m. That's Patrice Webb with Tom Durazzi and members of Heartbreak Pass. It's not Patrice solo. It's Patrice with the group.
Neat.
She's often often compared to 60s folk legends, but has a style all her own. ThePearlTheater.org for more information. Beer Hall Music with Spumoni Blues from 6:30 to 9:30 on Saturday. And the Andy Hackbarth Band is playing at the Panada Theater, hosted by POAC, the Ponderay Arts Council. Singer-songwriter Andy Hackbarth is bringing his original style of music at 7:30 p.m. to the Panada Theater. He bears the stamp of the contemporary West, is what it says here, weaving together 19th century Spanish romanticism, jazz standards, the classical masters, and contemporary indie rock. Ticket information at artinsandpoint.org. And finally, one thing that we already did mention, but I'll mention it one more time. On Sunday, the Blaze and Kelly concert at
Perfect.
The Panada.
Perfect.
It's a benefit for the Panada, actually. Doors open at 2 p.m. for the concert, which starts at 3 p.m. Blaze and Kelly have played to sold-out crowds all over the Northwest, featuring their fusion of jazz, folk, rock, and other unique flavors. Currently ranked in the top 10% nationally on the folk charts.
Cool.
Yeah. An afternoon of great music, a no-host bar and appetizers, bid on some silent auction items, all to benefit Sandpoint's historic Panada Theater. Ticket information at panada.org or at the door.
Want to give you a shout out ahead to next week's KRFY morning show. On Tuesday morning, you can join Susie and Chris, and their guests are going to be outgoing Sandpoint Mayor Kerry Logan and Parks and Recreation Director Kim Woodruff. And they're going to talk about, I think, a very important issue, the Memorial Field Tax. That's 8 o'clock on Tuesday, the 27th. And then a week from today, on Thursday, you can join Jim and Jack, and we're going to have people, folks, actors from the Rocky Horror Show that's going to be on at the Panada. Mm-hmm. Let's do the Time Warp again.
Or that's going to be fun.
Touch Me from Rocky Horror Show. So that's coming up next week. I do think we can switch ahead to, I've also queued up, but we won't play it, but we can do it after Bird Note. On this date in 1969, incredible Led Zeppelin released their second album, and it's called Led Zeppelin 2. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that became the number one album in both the UK and in the US. But it was released on this date in 1969, and I think I've queued up Livin' Lovin' Maid. So that will get your juices flowing after Bird Note. So here on 88.5 KRFY. Another reminder, the online auction.
Yes.
Please visit the website. You can go to KRFY.org and follow the prompts over to the Bidding for Good. And there are just incredible items just sitting there waiting to be bid upon. And the auction closes on Sunday, October 25th. So get your bids in. You could do Christmas shopping. There's just all sorts of neat items there.
Yes, there are. This is also one of our biggest fundraising events of the year, maybe.
Yep. And Jack has his eye on that pie.
I do. Yeah, watch out.
Watch out.
I will be the one bidding that up. No, this is, I mean, you go to the auction and participate, and that means we don't have to have too many more, you know, pledge drives and stuff like that. We can just keep bringing you the quality content that you tune in for. Plus, all the items really are great. It's not just to benefit the radio station. There, you can get some really great stuff there. Got to check it out.
Absolutely. And speaking of quality content, you can join me tonight at 9 o'clock on the KRFY Folk Show. It's the first hour of a three-hour block. And tonight, I'm going to be focusing on a subgenre of folk music called the Talkin' Blues. So if you'd like to hear about Talkin' Blues, and I'm going to be playing anywhere from Woody Guthrie to Bob Dylan to Pete Seeger, Tom Paxton. Curiously, I haven't found any woman do Talkin' Blues. Ooh. And so that's sort of interesting. But that'll be tonight at 9 o'clock on 88.5 KRFY.
We're out of time. This has been the KRFY Morning Show. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for Bird Note right now, and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that, right here on 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio.